And he's been an evangelist everywhere he goes. I've never seen anybody like him with the gift that he has for connecting with people in a restaurant or on the street or in any social setting. He connects. He's been powerful here in ministering to children. We had 40 children receive the baptism of the Spirit when he ministered. I can still see him sitting right here on this step and ministering to children in a children's revival and ministering to us. And we are in your debt, Brother Howard, for your ministry to us through the years. You have blessed us and left blessings with us. And we love you and we appreciate you. And you are God's gift and blessing in our life. They're pastoring a great church in Austin, Texas right now. And we want to pray for them that God will just make them fruitful in all they do. Brother Howard, I want you to come. And I want you to absolutely take your liberty this morning. Would you clap your hands for the Lord and for the greatest pastor in Alabama? And the greatest pastor's wife? The greatest church that's about to break a barrier and hit the thousands. Something happened this week. You're on your way, baby. You're on your way. I'll say remarks for tonight. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 24, Luke chapter number 21, Acts chapter number 1. If you're a visitor here tonight, this morning, excuse me, please do not leave without praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to take two extremes today. I'm going to be reaching as far as I can in one direction, and I'm going to be reaching then again to the other direction. And I'm going to definitely need your help to make this work here this morning. I'm always doing things so, they say, out of the box or unorthodox. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Ghost in the means in which he uses my personality. Each one of us have different personalities and different characteristics. So if you'll be yourself and let me be myself, amen, and let God be who he wants to be, I think we're going to have a great move of God here today. Now, I'm telling you right now, before I even get going here, I am going to need at least 20 people that will be on the hallelujah edge of their seat today. Now, and I say that not just for just to be flippant or charismatic in what I'm doing or what I'm saying here, because of the extremes that I'm going, and by the time I get it together, hopefully two trains will meet and we'll have an explosion. Amen. And hopefully someone will get caught right in the middle of it. But I know, and I'm not a devil chaser. I don't chase devils. You know, a lot of guys are always chasing devils. My God, we were chasing devils. And my God, look, I'm not chasing them. If they want to keep up with me and Jesus, they're going to have to chase us. I don't have time to chase devils. I'm looking for people that need the Holy Ghost in a church that wants revival. Come on now. Just give me some volume up here. That's right. Amen. Matthew chapter number 24. Amen. And verse number 3. And then we will turn to Luke chapter number 21, verse number 7. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 3 through 8. Amen. Now, I know where your pastor stands and all these things that I'm about to talk about. And Pastor, I don't have a structured message here today. I may have some paper up here, but you got to have a little paper to start a fire. I know, I'm just trying to put this together here.
Amen. Because I've been preaching this, and I've been getting little pieces there and here. Amen. But I'm going to preach this. I'm going to preach about this until Jesus comes. Amen. Matthew chapter number 24, amen, verse number 3. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Everyone say, end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must," everyone say must, "come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places." Luke chapter 21, verse number 7. And the disciples, they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" And Jesus said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name." I'm feeling my Holy Ghost strength already. "Saying, 'I am Christ,' and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions," amen. Well, I could preach on commotion right now, because I feel a locomotion to make some commotion with my devotion. Hallelujah. "Be not terrified, for these things must first," everyone say first, "they must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Verse 10. "Then said Jesus to them, 'Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famines and pestilence, fearful sights, great signs shall there be from the heavens. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Someone say amen. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. "And to whom also Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.'" Take note, verse 6. "And when the disciples therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?' And he said unto them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.'" Amen. Now, one title is "A Prescription," amen, "for End Time Revival." The other is this, preaching praise out of hell. Preaching praise out of hell. There's my extreme. I've got hell on one side. I've got praise on the other. Amen. By the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach praise out of hell. Because we're living in the end times. Where's my 20 hallelujahs? Where's my 20 hallelujahs? Would you put your Bible down and shout unto God with the voice of triumph one more time? Make a joyful noise in the day and time we're living in. Make a joyful noise. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. We're going to sing it. We're going to preach it. We're going to pray it. We're going to turn around to your neighbor and say, don't get comfortable on your seat. Amen. When you feel it, jump to your feet. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you can be seated, but it's going to get heated. Don't just sit in your seat. When you feel it, jump to your feet. Because the spontaneity of what Brother Godwin said about the congregation believing what the preacher's saying is letting the demons in hell know it's just not the preacher that was saying it. It's the congregation that's believing it. It's one thing for Jesus to say it. It's another thing for someone to believe it. I can preach it, but you may not believe it. But if I preach it and you believed it, where two or three agree in my name, they shall pull down strongholds. They shall tread on serpents and scorpions. They shall have a revival that the devil can't break, that the demons will have to flee, and your loved ones will be swooped in to the watery grave of baptism. Not many days hence. I'm feeling the strength of the anointing of the pastor in this podium right now. You may be seated. I read to you out of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. If you're a visitor here, you better pay close attention. If you're a lukewarm saint, you better pay close attention. If you're a young person that's playing around in the world, you better pay attention. If you're a person here and you're wishy-washy and you're riding both sides of the fence, you're halfway in the church and you're halfway out of the church, you better hear what I have to say. It's revival time and new life. And there's a revival that's going to start from this church and spread across the state of Alabama. This church is a catalyst for what's going to happen. ARC is just a part of the burden of your pastor and the vision of men that are believing God for a revival. Somebody say yeah. So if you're playing church, don't play church no more. It's time to get in church. It's not time to backslide. It's not time to go to the world. It's time to say, hey, I want to do more. Run faster. Jump higher. Pray more people through. Give more Bible studies. Shout more than I ever have before. Now Jesus said, amen, as he spoke to his disciples, they spoke to him with a great big concern. Amen. As he was ascending up into heaven, they were asking this one question: will you now restore the kingdom of Israel? Their concern was as Jesus was leaving, they were saying, you can't leave yet. Things are not done yet. You can't leave us here. You got to restore the kingdom of Israel. The disciples were caught up in one thought and train of mind. They were more concerned about the restoration of the tribes of Israel and destroying the Roman government, the suppression of the iron hand of the government against the children of God. They were more concerned about what was happening in their present world than that which was about to come. I'm preaching to a generation that is standing at the precipice of some of the greatest and yea, the most terrifying things that are going to happen on the face of the earth. Listen to me. We are living in a time. Pick up your newspaper and read it every day. I don't have time to go through it all, but we are living in perilous times, troubled times, fearful times. Where's my amens? You see, what I'm trying to tell you is that we are living in times of wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, terrible things that are happening. And the world wants to sit down, and the world locks the door. But the church should get ready, because these are the signs of revival. These are the signs of Jesus coming. Let me talk to you a little bit. Amen. We are living in times, amen, where now there are signs that are upon us that if it be, amen, not many days or years from now, we will see with our own eyes the persecution, amen, like never before. There will be a rising against Christianity. It already is. And Antichrist already works. But in the meantime, the church is going to be having a revival. They're going to be shouting. They're going to be running. Let me make myself a little bit clear. Those of you visitors that are here, there is right now a government, amen, suppression around the world, from leader to leader, president to president, prime minister to king, that is under the influence, amen, of the opposition of the things of God. And there is a spirit of terrorism that's running wild in our world that will destroy and kill and do whatever they have to get their job done. But in the meantime, the church is having revival. The church is having revival. The church is having revival. The economy is getting tighter. Global warming is coming down the pike. Amen. Atheism is rising up. But in the meantime, the church is baptizing people on 5 points. They're having revival. You see the extremes, how bad things are, how gloomy things are, and the other extreme, how great things are. Honey, no matter how bad it gets, the church is going to rock on. Let me tell some of the homeless people something. There is already documented a sweeping across the United States. It's already started in the prisons. It's already started with the child molesters. The chips, amen, that are going into the hands so that tracking devices can systematically find out where everybody is. The homeless are going to be some of the first that will be swept in to a position of tracking devices. If you got a cell phone, would you hold it up right now? Go back to your purse, go back to your seat, and get your cell phone up. Amen. Let me talk to you just a little while. Someone say, yeah. Don't lose your hallelujah on the, hold your cell phone up. Come on, hold your cell phone up. Hold it up high, like you're calling Jesus. Amen. You see that cell phone right there? There's over 65% of this church that has cell phones. I've got 17 pages, and I'm not a page preaching preacher, but I got 17 pages of what they're doing with the cell phones right now at the London Blast in that tunnel. People, in 20 seconds, were are able to transmit, amen, images to all the medias around the world in 20 seconds. There were satellite images and sounds of that disaster. CNN, ABC, and all technology telephone companies have realized now the tracking devices and the systems of the telephone is going to be something that they're going to use to track Americans, Europeans, people around the world, in Hong Kong, in Japan. The cell phone is just another tracking device. Oh, somebody. You don't think they know where you are? They got your cell phone. Amen. I was talking with Keith Clark just this week, and he was telling me he sat with a man in Houston. They pulled it up on the computer. He plugged in to the satellite. He prepped in, amen, the address. He said, look at this, Keith, right across the street where they were eating. The satellite beamed down the image of the address right across the street. Now, I don't know why that you're just sitting there. But you're saying, oh my God, they can track us with the cell phone. They're putting chips in the hand. The technology of tracking is even going to get better. Buy your brand new car. They'll track you down. The heating devices and satellites over your houses. Everything, some of you that got jobs, you're going to be put in a position of cards, lasers, and thumbprints. The new Cadillac doesn't have a key. It has a thumbprint. It's getting closer and closer. And if I was a saint of God that was listening to this preacher, I'd be saying, come on, it's getting ready. It's about to happen. It's about to happen. Fearful things are going to come on the face of the earth, but we don't have time to worry about the terrible things. I'm telling you, when you see these things, get the watery grave ready. Get the altars ready. When you go to get your social security check and you have to do some things that you don't want to do. I'm not a pre-trib, mid-trib, or after-trib. I'm just a rapture-ready kid. I don't care when it happens. I'm just going to keep my mind on revival until it comes. I'm not crossing theology, but I am telling you the signs of the time are upon us. Come on, Sister Bonnie. Don't stop now. He just got scared for the first time. He went... And that's how some of you get when you see the signs of the times. And it's going to get tight. I know it is. But I'm not about when I see the signs of the time to hang my head, bite my fingernails. These are the signs of the time for revival. Come on, musicians. Let me tell some of the backslidden kids that sit on the pews and want to play patty cake with church. There's going to be a sweeping revival that takes place at New Life. And you better get in. Oh, I wish I had some gray-headed saint that would help me preach right now to get you to understand in the midst of all of this. Would you stand to your feet right now? I had to get through those notes to get where I am now. Off the notes. Amen. There's some things coming our way. No, you didn't say amen. You didn't say amen. I hope to God that some things start shaking you up on your job. I hope the banker starts telling you there's some things that the bank is changing right now. in my documented papers. Amen. All because of the terrorist. Amen. In 2006, your good Republican president, and I'm not Republican or Democrat, I'm Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care what you are. Amen. Your good Republican president, Bush, in 2006, amen, will start the ID card for all immigrants. And then it's going to go right down all the way, tracking everybody. All right. Can someone say amen? If I had time, I talk about a society that is in control, amen, of everything in the world. And their goal is to make sure that every citizen of the world is taxed and controlled and monitored. You don't understand. They were calling Joseph and Mary to a place of census and to be taxed. But while the world was being taxed, while the world was having a census, there was a Messiah that was being born. I'm telling you, it's going to be the same way. They can tax us, they can census us, but they can't stop us from having an apostolic Holy Ghost tongue talking, aisle running, pew jumping. You still don't understand. You still don't understand. Don't get hoodwinked by what you see in the media. It's all a setup for a church to have revival. When you see Islamic movements in Iraq, amen, in Iran, and China, and Taiwan, it's a setup for revival. When you see Europe, France, and Britain, it's just a setup for revival. When you see problems in your own life, it's just a setup for revival. You see, we are facing the same things that the disciples faced. Are you still with me? Say yeah. Now, they sat with Jesus one time already, Pastor, and he told them, when you see these things come to pass, know that the end is just about to take place. And he read down the list. And then he went a little bit further, and he did all these things. And then right before they left, they couldn't get their mind off the problems. They couldn't get their mind off the situation that they were living in. And they said, well, but Jesus, before you leave, you got to help us with this situation. The kingdom of Israel. That's why Judas, oh, hear me, somebody. Judas had his mind on the problem and the situation, and he got his eyes off Jesus. I know where I'm at now. Amen. You see, the disciples say, wait a minute. I thought you were going to set something up here. I thought you were going to establish something. And he turned to them and said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has in his own hand. But just you worry about the Holy Ghost. That's all you're supposed to worry about. I don't know if you caught that. I don't know if you caught that. The disciples were worried about the problem, and Jesus was saying, you just worry about the Holy Ghost. Because the Father has the time and the season in his own hand. In other words, the Father has your problem in the palm of his hand. Come to preach the new life. Get your mind off the problem and get your mind on the Holy Ghost. Get your mind. I'm talking about your problem. I'm talking about your problem. I'm talking about your problem. God's not interested. Oh, but you don't understand. We're having financial problems. It's revival time. Yeah. We're having marriage problems. It's revival time. We're fighting the world. We're fighting things in the world. It's revival time. Oh, Brother Joe. Sometimes the economy will reel and rock, and you'll get fired off your job, and maybe you'll lose your wife. But in the meantime, when you see these things, get your mind on the Holy Ghost. Now back up, everybody. I'm here to tell you, God's not happy with you worrying about your problem. We got too many Pentecostal folks that sit on those pews that worry about their problems. When if they would just worry about the Holy Ghost would take care of their problem. But can't you restore me? Can't you take care of my job? Can't you take care of my house? Can't you take care of this? No! The Father knows it's in His hand. You just get your mind on Jesus. All I can think about is getting healed. All I can think about is having my finances met. All I can think about is the trouble with my teenage kids. All I can think about, that's right, and that's your problem. You're thinking about the problem, and you're not getting in the Holy Ghost. We need, oh, Pastor, and the time and the place, we're in the season, in the Father. But oh, I wish this church would just slow down enough to minister to my problem. I wish this church would slow down just long enough. You know, we're needing this situation taken care of. And we're needing this situation. And I wish the pastor would just do more counseling. And I wish, oh, I'm on target today right now. And while you're wishing, for all you're wishing, there's too many of us that are saying, it's revival, it's revival, it's revival. You see those folks that are running? They're not worried about their problems. They're not worried about their jobs. They're not worried about their bank account. They're not worried about their sickness. They're not worried about what's going on. They're getting in the Holy Ghost. Some of you are
in trouble.
I'm looking at some of you right now. Your problem is on the front page of your life. Every morning you wake up and there's your problem. And I'm just, can I be myself? I've been coming here 5 years and I've already picked up some of your spirits. You got the same problems you have now than when I first came. Here I go. Someone get praise out of hell. I walk by you and you're the same down, disheartened, disgruntled, complaining saint of God. You still got the same paper from yesterday. You're reading yesterday's news. But my paper said today, new life, revival, starting across Alabama. Hey, I can see. I see backsliding saints on the pews. I see backsliding young people on the pews. I'm trying to get your praise out of hell, baby.
Get your trouble.
Hold on now. Here's your life. Every day you get up, here's your life. Oh, I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with sex. I'm struggling with pornography. Someone should be shouting. Hear me. Shouting for the pornographer. Shouting for the luster. Shouting for the idolater. No. These are the signs of the time. Homosexuality, perversion, lukewarmness, despondent, backbiters. Hello? I'd be shouting, these are words of revival.
In trouble, yet praising.
For too long, for too long. When we hear preaching, we put that in the negative content. When they talk about backsliders, lukewarm saints, and sin in the church, I know there's a time and a place, but something has to get a hold of you that says there's a falling away, but there's a great revival happening at the same time. So what? What am I trying to say? If you're struggling with finances, you know what you need to do? You need to get out in that aisle and worship God. Well, you don't understand. I'm homeless. Well, you can read on the paper, I'm homeless. Or you can read in the paper, Jesus Christ loves me, and I'm not going to be homeless anymore. You can read in the paper, my marriage is on the rocks and I'm really going through it. Or you can read, God is just getting my focus back on Him that I can do more. Jesus would not even respond. It was almost a rebuke. The last thing He did was rebuke the disciples. And praise Him at the same time. He said, look, it's not for you to worry about the kingdom of God. You just worry about the Holy Ghost. And then two angels came by. What you looking at? This same Jesus that she's seen go away shall come in like manner. Now, if you didn't hear what Jesus said, hear what the angel said. Get to Jerusalem and get the Holy Ghost. You know what the saint of God with the problem's problem is? They just got to get under the Holy Ghost. Now, here we go. I challenge you for the next 30 days. God, we've done some challenging around this church before. I dare you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. I fourple dog dare you. I quadruple dare you. I 1,200... I ran out of vernacular. You got the point? Take it to the wall. I double dog dare you to take your problem here today and just throw it on the ground. Get your problem out of the aisle and start worshiping God on it. Start worshiping God on it. Start worshiping God on your problem. Get on the front page. You hear me? Listen, listen. You've always wanted on the front page. Get on the front page. Get on the front page. Get on the front page. Watch what's going to happen here. My God, we're not having church until we make a mess. I'm going to get in trouble right now, but it's all right. I was born in trouble. Hey, bro, on the back seat. Hey, cruiser, right there. You okay? You okay, man? You all right? Yeah. You all right? You just cruising. Are you sick? You sick? All right. You go to church here? All right. I just didn't know if you were a visitor or not. Now, I'm not pointing you out, but if you got a good spirit, you won't be offended. Because Jesus said offense will come, but you can't be offended. So when you get offended, you can't be offended. Because Jesus said offense would come, so you can't be offended. So if you're getting offended right now, Jesus said it would come, but you can't be offended. So nothing's happening right here. But I watched you through the whole service. And I'm only picking you because some of you are acting the same way. Nobody knows how bad it is. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows. Can I tell you? We love you, but right now, we don't care. We got our own problem on the floor. We got our own situation on the floor. Come here, man. Come here. Come on. Man, this tambourine just said, screamed at me, pick me up, 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 pick me up. You two guys, come up here. I want this man to pray for me because he says he ain't got no problems. I got a whole truckload of devil problems. Of shouters. Sir, come here. You had a big old light bulb on your head. Come on. You going through something? Yeah. Stay with me now. Back up. Hold on now. I'm holding on to this guy. You know why? Because Jesus loves you. It's just the world out there. World trying to destroy you. And I'm reaching for you right now. And you know what the church is going to do for you right now? They're going to worship right in the face of hell. We're going to get praise out of hell. Hold on. Hold on. Back up. Hold on. Back up.
Hi.
No, this girl right here.
Yeah, you. What? Hi.
You doing all right? You like this shirt? You like all this crazy stuff? Wouldn't you like this crazy stuff to get down in you? And you want to go back to that boring, troubled, lonely life? Oh my God. She's shaking her head no as she walks towards me. You have a problem. You guys that are shouting don't have a problem. So I'm not asking you to come to the altar. But I am reaching for anybody out there right now standing that is really struggling with a problem. I want you to come up here. Come on. Just stand. Thank you for being honest. That's right. That's right. Just come over here. Thank you for being honest. God, we made a mess. I'm sorry. Is everything all right? Is everything all right? All right. You can loosen your tie up a little bit if you want. You doing all right? Doing all right. Now listen, you see these people up here right now? They're struggling with something. I wouldn't call you up here if Jesus didn't love you. There's people right now that I see all over your face. You got problems, but you know what? There's too much resistance on you. I don't want to deal with it. You know, if I was one of them other guys that chased devils, honey, look, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. All I'm going to ask you to do right now, because you don't feel like it, 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 I'm going to ask everyone that's right here, in the midst of your problem, I don't want you just to raise your hands and just, because what you're waiting for is something from God to come and take your problem away. He's not coming down to take your problem away. He's flying up and going, you just get in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will take care of it all. And the next time you have a spiritual problem, or you have some problem, before you come belly aching and complaining to the pastor or somebody else, you take it into a worship service. You take that problem with you to church and you don't moan about it for a week, a month, 5 years. Oh, this happened to me when I was a kid. Oh, this happened here. Oh, this happened there. You know, sometimes Jesus gets tired of hearing about that junk. What you need to do is just get over it, pray through. You can tell I've been pastoring a while now. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I can't make you do it. I cannot make you do what you're about to do. I can't make you do this. I can't make you do it. You won't be lonely for very long. I can't make you do what I'm about to say. And he don't even know. I can't make you. But you see, his blood's on your hands because you are responsible, because you're his friend and you know the truth. And I can't make you do it. And you're going to be the same way until you break out of it. Until you break out of that shell. Break out of that cocoon. Instead of sitting on the back, you get in the front. And you bump and grind with the rest of us. I can't make you do it. And you may not feel like it. But all I'm asking you to do, when we start worshiping God, I want you to shout and pick your feet up and throw your hands in the air and start talking in tongues, because under your feet is your problem. In the meantime, I'm going to pray with her. I'm going to try to get to him, but you're my resistance to him. So I got to get to him through you. See, right now, I can't get to him because something's right here. I'm trying to get to him. Trying to get to you, but you got to have a little passion. And you're not going to be lonely no more. And the rest of us are going to shout while we're getting praise out of hell. Would you raise your hands? Would you raise your hands? Somebody dance on their problem. Somebody shout on their problem. Somebody worship on their problem.
Lift up your hands.
somebody's hand and tell them. Shake somebody's hand and say, I'm getting over my problem right now. I'm getting over my problem right now. I'm going to worship God. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock.
Shabbat. Hallelujah.
Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock, yo.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock.
You can't have a problem when you're in revival. You can't have a problem when you're in revival.